morning, Living Hope.
Good morning.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Show it to me on your face.
Hallelujah.
Some of you are not so happy to be here. Show it to me on your face.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, show me some pearly whites. All right. Excellent. Well, this morning, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Have you ever heard that statement before? If you hung around me, you've heard it. Some of you are pointing at me. I think of that statement many times a week as I stand in a classroom looking into the eyes of young boys and young girls in my classroom. When the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. That doesn't mean that the teacher wasn't there all the time. You know what I'm saying? How about yourself? Does wisdom and discernment pass us by? Do we struggle to focus on the things of God? And yet, if we're looking for answers, if we want to solve a situation in our life, are we not more inclined to seek out, to listen to, and receive wisdom from someone who we believe has our answers? Those who glean wisdom seek, those who glean the wisdom of who we seek will always find it. I don't profess to know everything. That would be foolish. And yet, if there is a medical situation, I pursue someone who has medical knowledge. If there's something going on with my truck, I don't ask my dentist. That could get you in a problem, right? So when we are truly seeking, we may find out that the one who has our answer has always been there. I even think about maybe yourself. You see somebody that's struggling with something and you say, well, I want to help them, but you usually wait till they ask, right? Because you know that if you just tell them, they don't want to hear it. Ever have that with your children? Right? All you do is tell me what to do. I remember a young man I had as a student probably over 20, 25 years ago. His name was Joe. And Joe had a stepdad, a mom, and I think he had one sister. And he came through the door, and Joe was a heavyset kid, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, you know, I'm just sick and tired of this school. What's up, Joe? Everybody just tells me what to do. Teachers are telling me what to do. Well, not you, Mr. B, but like everybody just telling me what to do. Principal telling me what to do. Guidance counselor telling me what to do. My stepdad always telling me what to do. I'm just sick of this. So when he graduated, he was a senior, graduated a couple of months later, he decided to go into the Marines. I find that the most hilarious thing in the world, because what are they going to do when he gets there? Tell him what to do.
No, they're not going to tell him. They're going to yell at him what to do.
3 years later, he came back. Now, this was a heavyset kid. It was the last period of the day. The kids were just about ready to go. Knock on my door. He opens up the door. Good afternoon, Mr. Bebrot. And I'm looking at this guy who looks like a triangle. His arms are as big as my legs. He looks amazing. I mean, he just walks in. Good afternoon, Mr. Bebrot. And I'm like, Joe? Yes, sir. Because he started listening to the right voices. And I'm not just saying that, you know, the military, but he needed to be able to get to a place where he was looking for the answers so that the change could happen in his life. I was so proud of him. When we're seeking answers, are we not more inclined to seek out, listen to, and receive wisdom from someone who we believe has our answer? Amen? The people that we are looking at to receive that wisdom, can I just tell you, they've always been there. They've always been there. But it's only when we are looking do we find. When the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we now worship you with your word. Holy Spirit, open up our hearts, our minds, that we and our ears, that we may understand your wisdom. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word, and we love you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank you for those of you who reached out last week to me after last week's message. And I want to thank you for your words of encouragement that you shared with me. It means a lot to me. It means a lot that I know that you're thinking about God's word. It means a lot to know that there was an impact, that there was a nugget that you walked away. You don't have to walk away with the whole message and go, oh, the whole message was just amazing. I don't think anybody ever says that. But I had people that go, you know, that one thing that you said, it just started something being birthed inside me. The one thing, that one nugget, I just couldn't get that out of my head all week. I meditated on it. So I want to thank you for those words of encouragement. As I mentioned last week, the person of the Holy Spirit is probably the least understood. And if you didn't hear last week's message, you can listen to it on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, or ask Alec for a hard copy. I think it's important because the Lord's really put on my heart this idea about understanding the Holy Spirit, the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. I mean, if you were running down the road, let's say if you're driving your car down the road, but your car is only working two-thirds its capacity, is there a problem? Yeah. What if you have a heart issue and it's only working two-thirds the capacity? Is there a problem? Right? It's still working, but it ain't working like it's full. What happens if we're only tapping into two-thirds of the divinity? Do you see what I'm saying? So if we can understand that third piece, it's going to dramatically affect our lives in a positive way. A deeper understanding, a deeper authority that you have, a deeper understanding of the power that you have and how to be able to move in that kind of authority and power. So this morning I'd like to share with you what I believe is an amazing attribute of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit as our teacher. Amen? If you open up your Bibles to John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 14 and verse number 26. It says this. I'll give you a second to get it. I still see pages flipping. At home, take out your Bible. There's nothing like holding the Word of God in your hand. Ugh. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 14, 26. As I was thinking about this, because as I tell you, I always see things in pictures. Jesus continues teaching the disciples about the various roles of the Holy Spirit would soon have in their lives. Do you understand that while Jesus was teaching this, the Holy Spirit had not been given to them at this point? It was only until Jesus would go sit at the right hand of the Father does he say that I will send another, which means just like him, maybe that's what I should teach on next week, another to comfort us. The Holy Spirit. A scripture this morning reveals that one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit would be that he would teach us. Jesus felt the last time with his disciples that it was so important that he explained to them where he was going, who he was going to send, so that they would not feel abandoned. But the teaching continued to be even more of that. To help them understand the person of the Holy Spirit in their life. And this is where I say, Holy Spirit in you and through you. Jesus took the time to teach this to his disciples. The word teach has many meanings. Now I'm going to give you. That slide shouldn't be up yet. I didn't get there. Thank you. The word teach has many meanings. You might have some meanings in your head, what you think the word teach means. I'm going to let you know what the word teach means in the public school. I saw some of you already rolling your eyes. Here we go. In our schools today, some believe that to teach means to tell. Others believe that to teach means to show. And yet others believe that to teach means you'll do it for them. Can I just tell you how many kids I see, like, oh, I don't know how to do that. You show me? What'd you say? No, like, what do you mean? And the teacher gets so frustrated, they take the pencil. Look, it's like this. Oh, okay, I get it now. You know what he gets? If I tell you that I don't know what it is enough, you'll just do it for me. There's no learning there. There's no teaching. But it's perceived. The word teach in the Greek is didasko. That's what it is in Greek. I know it all looks Greek to you. Didasko. The word is used over 200 times in the Old and the New Testament. And it's so many times that it's used that there's great clarity to what didasko means because of the way that it's used. In other words, there's no question like, well, does it mean this? Does it mean that? Is that your interpretation? When this word in Greek is used over and over and over again in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's very clear and there's no question to the meaning. But so now we're on the same page this morning. Our primary meaning of this word, didasco, is to teach, inform, instruct, demonstrate, and prescribe. The word is used typically for the relationship between a teacher and a pupil, between an instructor and apprentice. That's where we find that word and term used most often. So what is taught? Well, what is taught may be not only just knowledge, opinions, or facts, but also artistic and technical skills. What could some of those artistic and technical skills be? Could include things like playing an instrument, learning how to paint beautiful portraits, or building something with wood or electricity, or things that are taught in a process so that a learner can acquire the skill or the knowledge through the interaction of a teacher. It's to bring them from one point of understanding to another point of understanding, which then brings application. You see, learning something for the sake of learning it and never applying it is really a waste of time. Think about it. If you have the knowledge, but you don't apply it, it is just as if you didn't have the knowledge. Well, I know that this is good for me, but I'm not going to do it. I know this is bad for me, but I'm not going to stop it. Having the knowledge, I mean, how many commercials do you see that tells you that, you know, smoking cigarettes isn't good for you? And I know you'll show me a guy who's lived to 98 years old still puffing a pack of cigarettes a day. I don't get it. I don't understand it all. But you know what? The Word of God says that our body is a temple of God. What are you putting in the temple? You know, drinking. It doesn't say that it's bad. But you know what? Anything to excess is not good for us. Drugs, they can be good or bad, right? Your doctor support, you know, gives those out depending on your situation. But you can mishandle even good stuff that's supposed to try to help, you know, reset your body. Having just the knowledge isn't enough. It's got to go deeper than that. Everything that I've learned that have brought me to another level of exploring and learning has been because somebody taught me. I mean, you know, I remember a time when I didn't know what a hemi was, right? You see all these commercials. Well, you got this truck with a hemi. And I'm like, hemi? I don't know. And the guys would be like, hey, man, I just picked up a new truck. And I'd be like, yeah, what kind is it? He goes, oh, yeah, this kind of truck with it. And it got a hemi in it. And I'm like, oh, you got a hemi? Oh, yeah. I have no idea what a hemi is. And I was embarrassed to ask. So I just faked it. I do know what a hemi is now, so any of you were looking at me. I didn't know how to do my own brakes. You know, you're a guy. Aren't you supposed to know how to do brakes, right? I mean, and I was always afraid that if I told somebody that I didn't know, that they would make fun of me. So I had a friend named Danny, and I just said, hey, Danny, can I talk to you for a second? And he's like, yeah, man, what's up, Pastor? I said, I don't know how to do brakes. And he's like, okay. And I thought he was going to laugh, but he didn't. He just said, okay. And he says, so let's get the parts, and I will show you how to do it. You sit there, and I'll do it, and I'll explain it. Okay. He says, the second time we do it together. The third time we do it, and I watch you. And then you're on your own. Do you know what's exciting? My son knows how to change his brakes. And we started out with, you know, like, how do we do it? And we sat together, and, you know, and now it's like I see him run out there. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to change my brakes. Oh, I'm doing this to my car. Oh, doing, and it so excites me that he's learned beyond. And see, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to learn beyond, but he also doesn't want us to be afraid to ask. You do not have because you do not ask. That's the word of God. So how does that scripture apply this morning? So let me just read that scripture again to you. But the helper, that's the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Who's that?
Jesus,
good. He will what?
Teach.
He'll what?
Teach.
Who?
You.
So who's this? What is he going to do?
Teach
who? You. What?
All things.
Some things?
All things.
It says all. All things, and bring your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is going to remind you of the red letters. Like, I didn't know that that was going to be the song this morning, right? I didn't even know that this was going to preach today until yesterday. Okay? He's going to bring you into remembrance all that he said. So he will teach you in all things. Amen. So you see that word teach there? That word teach is didasko. Right here. That's that word. Probably recognize it more written in English. And it means that the Holy Spirit is taking on the role of the teacher. Just as Jesus was the teacher of the disciples. Do you see that? So Jesus is reminding us that he sent the Holy Spirit, the Father sending in his name. He's going to teach you all things, bring into your remembrance everything that Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and we are his pupils. The teaching of the Holy Spirit is deeper and much more complex. So I don't want you to think that it's just kind of like this superficial thing where he just says, like, this is good and this is bad, or don't do this, do this. It goes much deeper than that, because there's a greater investment in your life. Amen? So yes, the Holy Spirit was sent to impart knowledge and facts, yes. Enlighten you through lessons of Scripture, yes. And reveal scriptural truths, yes. Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay. But he also teaches us how to live our Christian lives with divinely inspired ability. Oh, so he's just not throwing facts at us, telling us Bible history, giving us some scriptural truths. He's investing himself in your life with the divine ability to live a holy and righteous life. See, if we don't know that that's part of his attribute, we don't tap into that. Like, we don't ask our dentist how to fix our car because we don't believe our dentist has that knowledge or enough experience to be able to give us that insight or wisdom. Could it possibly be that we're not asking the Holy Spirit the help that we need to live righteous lives? Do we just fall on our knees and cry, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry I messed up again. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry I got into my habits and addictions again. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry I said the wrong things. Oh, Jesus, is that how we do that? We're just like going, "Oh, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry." And Jesus is going, "Dude, I gave you the Holy Spirit who's in you. You've got him locked in the closet. Will you let him out? Give him a room at least." He also teaches us how to live our Christian lives with divinely inspired ability. This is all done while the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's not like he's off to some other galaxy. The Holy Spirit in us. He's as close as you are. There you go. Our teacher dwells in us. Our teacher is always present. Our teacher is waiting for the student. See, the teacher's always been there. But if you're not seeking wisdom, discernment, understanding, he's just there. And when you are ready, all of a sudden you go, "Well, the Holy Spirit just appeared." No, the Holy Spirit's always been there. So how does the Holy Spirit wait for the student? Would that be a good question? Because now we're in agreement, at least, that when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. But we also understand that the teacher's always been there waiting for the student to say, "I want to learn." So how does the Holy Spirit wait for us? When we are ready as believers, we receive lessons imparted to us as we spend time in his word. Or when we pray. In fact, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, in us, through us, the Holy Spirit actually engages with us in every aspect of our life. Does that just like make you all of a sudden go, "Oh my gosh," like, if you will allow, the Holy Spirit will engage in every single aspect of your life. The only time he doesn't is when you shut him out, or you don't recognize he's there, or you say something like this, yeah, I got it. Or that still small voice says, "You know what, I really would like you to pray right now." And you go, "You know what, one more game of solitaire." You know what I'm saying? Don't look at me surprised. Don't point fingers. I'm looking around because you were looking at me during the service. I'm looking at everybody, okay? Looking at nobody. The Holy Spirit will actually engage with us in every aspect of your life. That's how Jeannie and I choose to live our lives. It has been a big mindset change because it doesn't happen overnight. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. We just do things because we've always done it that way. But if we will engage and allow the Holy Spirit to be someone that we converse with, talk with, every step is guided. That's for somebody. Somebody's going to get that later. If we listen, the Holy Spirit is teaching constantly. Constantly. Our responsibility is to listen, to obey, and to internalize and put into practice the truths that he's teaching us. Now, here's a great place, as in the classroom at school, where the student would say something like this. But why do we need to know that? Do I have to do that? When am I ever going to use that in life? I know you're asking me to do it now, but do I have to do this all the time? You might notice that some of these questions that the children in school ask might be the same questions you're asking the Holy Spirit right now. He wants to teach and guide our steps. And we go, okay, well, that's good for right now. Do I have to do that all the time? Why would you not want righteousness and wisdom and discernment to guide your steps? Like in everything. How many of you have found that in our lives we've taken a wrong turn, went down a detour, and all it's caused us is pain and anguish? It hurts enough where you go, I'm not doing that again. Or it only hurts a little bit, and then you do it again. And then you say, why do I always do that? Do you know why? Because we're not learning from the teacher. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit in everything to say, how are you guiding my steps right now? Is this what you want me to put my hand to? Is this what you want me to do? How do you want me to say that? How do you want me to interact? How can I be your light? In other words, the student might not be ready. And therefore, the wisdom and knowledge available to us through the Holy Spirit may not have the same value to them, or one might not perceive that this wisdom and discernment is applicable to their lives at the present time. You see, if we're not ready, even the words that I'm speaking to you this morning might just fall on deaf ears. Oh, it was a good message. But it needs to go beyond that, because if we're not readying ourselves to receive from the Spirit, the wisdom and discernment, we just, whatever. When that wisdom and discernment can actually make our path straight. Less pain, less anguish, less mistakes. Sometimes we've made mistakes in job selections. Sometimes we make mistakes where we live. Sometimes we make mistakes on relationships that we're in. And yet, I could tell you all of those mistakes have all come without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There are times I want to drive home and all I want to do is get home and the Lord says, you got to go this way. And I used to go, why? And I go, now I just go, okay. And it either keeps me from something or I'm blessed for some other reason. But those who are truly seeking wisdom and discernment seek the teacher, the Holy Spirit. And the scripture explains who will guide them in all things. Let's look at that scripture one more time. When the Spirit of truth comes, Spirit of truth is who? Jesus. Spirit of truth comes, Holy Spirit. He will guide you in all the truth. Can I tell you that there's a lot of deception out there? There's a lot of roads that look good, but they don't lead to the same place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay. For he, Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Wouldn't it be nice to know the things that are coming? I mean, when I'm in my prayer time, there are times the Lord shows me things that are happening globally that are coming that I haven't even hit the news yet. I want you to prepare my people. I want you to get them ready. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you. You won't be distracted by the world. You won't be deceived. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Do you remember Jesus saying that? I hear what my Father says. I only say what my Father says. Jesus isn't making it up. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Hey, don't go that way. There's going to be an accident. Go another way. Hey, don't make that investment right now. Position yourself right here. I want you to call or write a letter to somebody. He's going to give you those directions. Whenever we involve ourselves in whatever mountain we pursue to have impact over, or how we choose to be an inspiration in our circles of influence, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us. You don't have to be a brainiac. You just have to be available. You have to be able to hear the still, soft voice of the Holy Spirit. And he'll teach you in everything. Because that is what he is ordained to do by the Father, to be our teacher. A fundamental attribute through the ministry of the Holy Spirit is teaching. If you're willing to learn, if you're willing to be the student, he's teaching. Amen? Jesus told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit came, he would teach them. And today the Holy Spirit has been sent to teach you. When you ask Jesus into your life as the Lord and Savior, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and to move through you. The question this morning is, do you see the Holy Spirit as your teacher? You see, I don't want you to run on two-thirds capacity. I want you to understand that there's attributes of the Holy Spirit given to you because the Holy Spirit lives in you and works through you. Do you see the Holy Spirit as your teacher? When we are ready, we, as believers, receive lessons imparted to us as we spend time in the Word or when we're in prayer. In fact, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, in us, and through us, the Holy Spirit engages with us in every aspect of your life. Our responsibility is to listen, to obey, to internalize, and to put into practice the truths he's teaching us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you said that when the Holy Spirit came, he would teach us in all things we need to know. We thank you for the teachers you have put in our lives. But now, with a grateful heart and a deeper understanding, we thank you that you gave us the greatest teacher of all, the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that can replace the teaching of the Holy Spirit in our life. We admit that we have leaned on our own understanding for way too long. But your word in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 states, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you this morning and invite you to direct our paths. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. And would you all stand with me right now? I have a decree that I would like us to decree and declare this morning. It'll be up on the screen for you so you can read it with me. And this morning, if we can declare this together. Ready? Begin. This morning, I declare and decree that I need the Holy Spirit's teaching in my life. Jesus, you knew I needed divine instruction, and that is why you prayed for the Father to send us the Holy Spirit. Lord, I declare this morning that I will dedicate myself as a pupil and apprentice to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Isaiah? Amen. We're going to have Isaiah pray us out this morning.
Check, check. One, two. Before I pray us out this morning, I was reading Proverbs, and if I could just, sorry, this is a bit here. I was reading Proverbs, and I was in the second chapter there, and as the pastor was giving his sermon, the first nine verses, I feel, spoke heavily towards it, so I'm just going to say the first nine before we go for it. I apologize if it's a bit long. So it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path." And I feel like it spoke to what the pastor was saying here, where when we have the Holy Spirit and we search him out, we gain discernment, and from that, we gain an understanding in which he protects us. And the enemy is going to try to, in every single way, undercut what God is going to do in your life. But when we seek out the Holy Spirit and accept him as our teacher, then we're going to have the discernment to take what the enemy is saying to us that is false and walk justly. Okay, so I'm going to pray over y'all.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for this congregation as well as for the pastor for the teaching in which he has given us. May it stick to us like glue, and may we not just pass through it, Lord, that we meditate and chew on it as you would like us to. May we gain discernment through accepting you into our lives, Holy Spirit, that we honor you with our lives and fear you as we should. May we have faith in you when things come that are hard and troubling. May we walk out faith as you would want us to, through that discernment that you've told us that we will get through it, that you have our backs. May we trust in you. May the words of the enemy be swallowed and silenced, and may we honor you with our lives, Lord. We thank you for this week ahead, that we walk out our faith with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. In your precious and holy name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you and shalom.